Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, gang. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool turned it around at Villa Park. Sheffield United impressed again, and Bournemouth beat Manchester United. Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, here we are with me, Marcus Speller, him, Luke Moore, and him, Jim Campbell.
Hello.
We've lost Pete Donaldson on our Tory travel.
He's in quarantine before our trip to America.
I see.
It was to be expected. We always knew he was going to get lost along the way at some point.
That's very true, yeah. That reminds me of when... which classic actress was it? Liz Taylor, maybe?
Right.
Many years ago, she was at an award ceremony, and... Frank Skinner, I think, was the host, or he was commenting on it or something. And she'd come over to collect award from England. She said, "Oh, you know, I love coming to England. It's been so many years. The reason why I haven't been over for so long is the quarantine laws." And Frank Skinner had said, "Don't put yourself down like that." But yes, Pete Donaldson is somewhere in the
ether.
In the ether,
indeed. If you imagine him hard enough, I'm sure he will manifest himself. Mm. Didn't Elizabeth Taylor have seven husbands? I think she might have done.
Yeah. I think once you've got to four, why not?
Crack on.
Exactly.
Crack on.
Yes,
and
of course.
Pete Donaldson's also on his seventh husband, and that's partly why he can't be here today.
Does he count us as husbands?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Work husbands.
But he's had them with his harem of husbands.
Yeah.
He wouldn't...
I mean, are we part of a Pete Donaldson harem? That's quite depressing.
Husbandry?
Husbandry.
Is that what that means? I don't think it is.
I don't think so, no.
Well, you can probably tell, ladies and gentlemen, that we're a little tired. We've done the last of our live shows in England. We did Norwich, Birmingham and Salford, and they were bloody marvellous, and we really appreciate that.
Thank you for coming out.
But we're recording this on the Sunday. It was, Jim. We're recording this on the Sunday, so in case something crazy happens with Leicester or Everton or Palace or Spurs, you'll forgive us.
Yeah.
But there's plenty... To be honest, I'm quite glad because plenty happened on the Saturday.
There's plenty to get it stuck into. I think people need to, if they can, remember that there's a show tomorrow as well with Jules and Andy. They can cover any things we couldn't cover from the weekend. We're off to the US today, Monday, to go and do some shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Tuesday night, I might as well do this while we're here.
Absolutely.
Now. Bit of housekeeping now. Tuesday night, we're at the Gramercy Theatre in Manhattan. Wednesday night, we're at Murmur in Brooklyn. Thursday night, we're in Toronto. At the Danforth, I think it's called. And then Friday night, we're in Chicago at the Dahlia Hall. And then we're home again. And the tour is done and we don't have any shows for a wee while. So if you are based in the US and you're near any of those cities, do come along. There's tickets still available, certainly for the last three. Might be a handful left for Manhattan as well. It's ramblelive.com.
Get involved. And now we're going to get involved in the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool fans. listen to me now. You are going to win the league. It's going to happen.
Don't do that to them, Marcus.
I thought Leicester were on the verge.
Watch me. I'm ruining it for
them. It turned out to be a grass verge on the side of the motorway.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But, I mean, it was championship-winning form stuff.
Well, it sort of was, wasn't it? It was one of those things where...
At the very end.
Yeah, it was one of those, well, you know, you've got to win when you're playing badly. It's a cliche, but it is very much true about a team that's going to go the distance and win the league. But Klopp said, Klopp was asked about, you know, can you go unbeaten, which happens so often, doesn't it happen last year with Man City as well? And he said there's no way, that it's impossible to start with, and it's doubly impossible if we play like that. So they were sort of a little, Villa really.
Yeah, Man City went unbeaten in the league though last season.
Sorry?
Man City weren't unbeaten in the league.
No, exactly.
You get asked all the time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. Do you know, when you said that, I thought to myself, how's he going to link this back to Arsenal in the early noughties? And I was ready, but you threw me.
But it did have a very, maybe this is a trite thing to say, but some of our listeners may not remember clearly the proper Ferguson years. It did have a feeling of that about it. Yeah, they go up and they knock on the door. They perhaps get a bit unlucky with a decision earlier in the game, which I'm sure we'll come on to. Then later on, Robertson turns up at the back post. Brilliant fullback play. It was amazing to arrive that
superb
late.
Superb ball in from
great ball in, great header as well.
Yeah. And also,
and then they turn it around in injury time and get the win. And that, I mean, it is 3 points, and it is only 3 points, but the boost that will give them is just unbelievable ahead of Man City next weekend. Yeah.
And it makes you feel invincible, that sort of thing, you know.
It's meant to be, kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And funny enough, I mean, I'm sorry, Mark, because you sort of made me do this now, but I remember when Arsenal did have that unbeaten season, like, I remember there was a game we went 1-0 down to Chelsea. You just knew Arsenal would win, not just draw, but win. You felt that. And I imagine Liverpool fans feel like that now.
Yeah, the opposite
feels
of that
a long
Wolves.
Time ago.
Arsenal, yeah, the opposite of that Wolves.
Absolutely.
Literally, the dictionary.
Most
definitely
predictable thing.
Yeah.
Aston Villa were very good though.
Mm-hmm. They were very good, and they've picked up a lot, haven't they, recently?
Yes.
I feel for Tyrone Mings, because he's made a few high profile mistakes. Maybe seems a bit harsh, but
he played well.
He did.
The game.
But he's had games where he's played well and it's not quite worked out for him.
Where did you think he was? The error one of the goals? You said,
I think that Mane. I think.
Well, when the ball came in from the corner and Mane sort of steals and...
Nods it in.
I mean,
maybe Mane's,
with
maybe
Mane's pace, Mane will be in front of the defender. I would need to see it again.
Jim's got very high standards. You shouldn't make any apology for that.
Yeah. Well, I really like Tyrone Mings. Yeah. And I want him to be some sort of like Rio Ferdinand-style figure.
And you're upset he's late.
Well, he's going the right way. I mean,
World
maybe not.
Wind up.
Marcus, Tyrone's hurt Jim today.
Yes.
Yeah. He's let him down.
Jim's hurt Tyrone.
In response.
I mean, dizzying heights of Rio Ferdinand, Champions League winner, perhaps not, but he's playing very well. Him and Engels at the back were impressive.
I'll tell you why I like him so much. Just seeing him at the Emirates, like pointing and leading. I was like, oh.
Could do with a bit of
that. I haven't seen that here in a while.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting how we talk about Aston Villa looked like they played pretty well, and I agree with that. Of course, they went a goal up and they were ahead for 87 minutes, but that the standard is crazy, because they had just over a quarter of the ball and 26% possession. Yeah. They had 5 shots in total all game. Now, I know obviously Liverpool are a much better team than them, and I get that. I'm not trying to compare them, but it's quite interesting that we can have the impression that a team who are at home can play well, in quotes, but have 26% of the ball, have 2 shots on target all game, compared to Liverpool's 74% possession and 25 shots.
But you said it yourself, you know that Liverpool are a better side, so there you go.
So the best we can hope for, at home, is just to stick to their task and try and nick one and
well, against
there.
Liverpool, yes, but he set them up well and it's all about the context, isn't it? I mean, clearly if that's at home in a cup game against a Championship side, they're going to be disappointed with that. But against Liverpool... Liverpool they're not as possession-y as Man City. I don't think any team is, quite frankly, in the league. You have to go down to Fulham in the Championship, who got beat 3-0 at home against Hull City on the weekend. But Liverpool are not. When I think of Liverpool, I don't think possession. Clearly, they're good in possession, and they would more often than not probably have more of it. But Aston Villa. What they did was they started very well. They almost tried to take the game to Liverpool, and it worked. They went a goal up. I mean, the Roberto Firmino offside, I mean, it's just just file it under VAR and all that business. And you can comment on that if in a moment.
That was even more ridiculous than usual.
If I can finish, sorry, mate. I appreciate the gripe of that. But Villa, they scored. They came forward. They had another effort or two. And then in the second half, they think, right, we're going to be under the cosh. Well, let's hit them on the break. And there was that chance, wasn't there, where they broke away. And was it McGinn who played it through? I forget now.
They had chances for sure, yeah.
And so I think that was actually quite a good way of playing it because they had the goal. And they were so close to holding on, well, for the win, one, but even just for a point, which would have been a great result as well. And Tom Heaton played his part as well.
Yes, so deflating to have something like that happen at the end. Yeah, I've just watched that back as well. Tyrone Mings is not at fault at all.
Is he not?
An apology to Tyrone Mings.
No, I don't mind it. There's no
driving him
problem
on.
With having exacting standards of our Premier League players. And if he wasn't particularly at fault for that exact incident, Jim, I dare say he was at fault for something else. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Well, where was he?
Jim, why didn't
someone was at fault.
Jim, you apologising for talking bollocks. I mean, you're not going to get to lead a Western country with that kind of thing. What you've got to do is you've just got to talk bollocks and then just stand by it.
You're right.
Can I ask a question about the Firmino offside thing? I know people are going to roll their eyes and maybe we can just do it very, very quickly because I'm sure it's been done to death by the time this comes out. But I do think it's worth pointing out that at this point, if you are going to be that exacting with it, you then need to get into the territory of when you're stopping the tape and how thick the line is because for them to come out and say his armpit was like a centimetre offside, it's absolutely ridiculous. Is that what we want?
No, it's not what anyone wants, is it? That's not the point of the rule. We've said this so many times, but you can't be like an atom offside. It's a difficult thing to fix. We've spoken about the whole daylight thing before, but obviously if someone's at the other side of the pitch, that complicates that. But then something needs to be done. It's not on us to fix this, is it?
Well, and also as well, to try and get camera angles for the right thing and all that, it is so difficult. And I look at that and I just think, for crying out loud, it's a goal.
Get rid. Altogether. No offsides.
One of the things that could be done, because the daylight thing we talk about, and apparently when I first said that a while back, someone pointed out that wasn't never actually mentioned in the laws. But one of the things that could be pretty easily worked out, I suspect, is if you just did it from the feet.
I thought that
where their feet are planted.
But even then, though, with the camera angles and all, I thought that as well. If you do it with the feet, then we're much clearer. A little bit clearer. Mm. But still, though, if the camera angle's not quite conducive, or there's a few players in the way, and you can't quite see it.
Yeah, it's harder.
It's very difficult. I just wonder if VAR. You just think, do you know what? Let's not bother doing it for offsides or something. You know what I mean?
I think they've got to. I would agree with that. I think, and I think I would also agree with the idea that the threshold has got to be like ridiculous, or it's got to be mistaken identity or something like that. Because otherwise, you're getting so far into the weeds. It's just getting worse. The problem, the fear I've got for it is we're 11 games in now. And it's getting worse, not better. Oh, it's not being ironed out. It's going, this is just teething problems. It looks to me like it's going the wrong way.
Yeah, and it seems like with the repeated failure for referees to go over and take a look at things as well, that actually they seem to be coming sort of quite stubbornly entrenched in sticking to the process they have when it's been shown to not work that well.
Like I said the other week, Jim, if I'm the referee, the last thing I want to do is go over and check the monitor, because at least the referee can hold his hands up and say, I'm taking command from somebody else here. And the refs get enough as it is.
Yeah, but I know what you mean, and I think in terms of the day-to-day and the practicality of that kind of works. It takes a bit of the heat off him, but the referees do understand that the buck stops with them. And I think that's how it should be.
So you're saying that was it in Bolivia, that referee who did the VAR sign and gave a penalty when they don't have VAR? Is he like a pioneer? Is that the kind of bravery that we want to see with referees?
That's how sure that man was. That's how much he took responsibility.
Thinking outside the box.
Quite
literally.
Or inside the box. But 28 games unbeaten in the Premier League now for Liverpool. Very impressive indeed. Pep Guardiola, some people were saying that he was suggesting that some of the Liverpool players, in particular Mane, are divers or can do a bit of diving.
Yeah, a bit of mind games.
Yeah, I wondered this, but then I sort of read the quotes and then he was... I don't know if he might wrap himself up in mind games and just bring himself
down.
He said
he was joking, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or he at least intimated he was joking.
Yeah, you have to be good at the old mind games.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you put on a mind game yourself, like Benitez did that time.
Yeah. Well, Guardiola went for a bit of a funny one where he completely lost the plot with Mourinho when they were both managing in Spain.
And that was when he was coming to the end of his tenure. Yeah. Now, the players appreciated that. When he did that, apparently, the Barcelona players were like, go on, get on there.
That's right.
But at that point, you've had years of Mourinho chipping away at you, though.
But I don't think they didn't win the league in his final season. I think they won the Cup, the Copa del Rey, but they didn't win the league. And so
I think it was, to me, it looked like one of those things where he said he was joking, and he certainly intimated he was joking.
He's highlighting it.
But he was saying it for a reason. Ahead of the game this weekend.
Exactly. Whenever a manager says, oh yeah, well, you know what they're like, they're diving or they're this, and jokes around, they're highlighting it. Mm. They're basically saying, watch what you're doing there. Oh, you know, somebody goes in on our most talented player and he talks about Raheem Sterling, gets fouled a lot. What you're saying is protect him.
It's one of the oldest tricks in the book ahead of a big game against that team will be a very important 3 points for either team.
Yeah.
He's saying, he's trying to plant a seed in the official's mind, saying, my name is a diver, so keep an eye on it.
Yes.
And whether that'll work or not remains to be seen, but I don't know if it's significant of anything larger, really, at this point.
Well, he started talking about, because obviously we move on to Man City, Southampton, and he said that their game finished a few minutes earlier, and they're sort of watching or hearing Liverpool's the game going on, and then of course they score, and he said, you know, this has happened a few times now. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, has it? But has it, though? And the reason why I'm thinking, has it? Because the last time they played at the same time together was the last day of the season. Time before that, February. They never play at the same time. So when he's talking about, oh yeah, we wait and then our game finishes, I mean, maybe I'm misquoting him slightly or taking it out of context, but he was talking about them scoring in the last minute a lot.
That sounds like they're in his head.
Yes. Now, Man City, you know, they usually the game's gone. They've hammered the team before the last minute comes around, but they score a few late goals. But then he started saying, but this is talent. This is to do with talent. But I thought, what are you trying to say here?
It's an interesting...
Are you saying that it's... what was that one national newspaper said? Cloppage time.
Cloppage time.
Is this the new Fergie time? Is that what he's suggesting?
Maybe.
But you hit on something interesting there, because if we get fast forward to when we're about 30 games in, say Liverpool, Man City are still locked in this thing and it's within 5 or 6 points, the fixture list will become really important, because what we'll see is what we saw happen last season, where all their games will come on TV. Some of them will be on Saturday. Some of them will be on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They'll have opinions about whether it's better to play first or second. They'll have to be very, very careful, the fixture list people, the TV people, as how they balance it, because it does make a big difference. I think if you are someone who's say 5 points ahead and the TV guys decide to put you first, they say what we want to do is want the most ratings possible, so we want to put Liverpool on Saturday and want Man City on Sunday. If it's Liverpool on Saturday every week, just further piles the pressure on Man City over and over again. Yes. And you wonder whether that's actually fair or not.
Yeah.
Maybe they should be playing at exactly the same time.
We shall see. But Man City, they beat Southampton 2-1. Much better from Southampton, even though they lost the game, of course. But, you know, away to Man City. But they managed to avoid conceding 3 and thus equaling that to unwanted record, of course. But they're much more resilient. Was Southampton a little bit fortunate with a goal? I mean, a rare error from Edison, but you know, you've got to pounce on it, and Ward-Prowse did.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you know, they come out with huge credit. I don't know whether that's one of those things, though, where because you don't get anything from the game, whether that just, you know, sucks the energy out of you, or it makes you go, you know what? Look, we went toe to toe with them. We had a bit of practice. We had a practice run at it in the cup, but you know, whoever comes next will not be as good. So let's see see where we go from there. Because you wouldn't have put Hasenhüttl's Southampton down as a relegation sort of scrapping team, I think, at the start of the season. But they really look like they could be.
I don't know.
Embroiled in that.
Some people might have done, but certainly Hasenhüttl. That's not exactly how he. You know, it's not going to be like David Moyes at Sunderland when he was, you know, 3 games in and was saying, well, you know, we're going to be in another scrap again. Mm. I think it's a confidence booster for Southampton. I know that sounds ridiculous because they lost the game, but it could have been a lot worse. They defended well. I mean, Vestergaard was man of the match. Yeah. He was fantastic.
He's someone I'm surprised we don't talk about more, given that he's this sort of like huge kind of Nordic warrior.
Yeah. Well, far away.
Yeah, I just really like it.
Yeah.
He looks like he's from Game of Thrones, and I think that's to be encouraged, really.
There's a lot to unpack in this game, I think. I mean, if you look at the stats, they're almost exactly the same as a Liverpool game.
Well, I was about to say,
quite interesting.
Do you know what? Because when you were saying those Liverpool stats, I thought, it sounds like Man City.
Yeah.
But we're praising the side who lost, but for slightly different reasons. I mean, Southampton, it was always going to be a backs to the walls job. I mean, McCarthy in goal. I mean, for the winner, he does flap a little bit at
he
it.
He does. Well, great finish from Kyle Walker, though. I think it's unexpected, isn't it? The way he hits
he
it.
He reacts very well.
He does, yeah, and it comes in at a funny angle, so I think that's probably thrown the keeper as well. And you've got to give Walker credit for that.
Yeah,
I think Hasenhüttl deserves credit as well, because we talked about how when they were absolutely pumped by Leicester, you thought it's going to be a tough job for him to get them off the floor there, because he looked so despondent after the game. And I think that when you lose that much, you lose by that many goals, it's not a reflection on the coach, it's a reflection on how the players react. And he's done well to build them back up again to a point where they, okay, they were beaten by Man City, but it wasn't a huge defeat. That said, I was actually quite disappointed with Man City's intensity of what I saw in this game. It did look a bit like, to me, that it was going through the motion stuff, or at least large parts of it. Players like Silva and Sterling just didn't really do much. Well, maybe we're used to such high standards from them.
Well, I was going to say, but you know, Southampton had 11 men behind the ball pretty much, and they play a lot of football. So for the odd game, but I mean, Aguero still scored, didn't he? So I understand what you mean, but with that, as you say, the high standard they have, if it's not at least 8 out of 10 from them, you can sort of think.
Well, it's funny how your impression of Sterling, for example, will change over the years, because now he's one of the first names on City's team sheet if it's a game that they have to win. And he's improved such a great deal under Guardiola that now we just expect world-class from every time. I mean, was it Trevor Sinclair was saying, I don't actually agree with this, but just as a measure of Trevor Sinclair, who's normally a pretty sensible pundit, he was saying a few weeks ago that he thinks Sterling should be seen right up there with, you know, Messi and Ronaldo now.
Well, this is the problem, and I was about to mention those two.
Yeah.
Because
they've skewed everything.
They have, because they're two of the greatest sports people
ever
of all time.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is everyone wants to say, oh, he's up there with them. No. Don't bother. Those two, to have one of them ever, let alone two at the same time in the same generation, it is unbelievable stuff. Yeah. So everyone just stop this kind of, oh, I think he's getting on for no. It is okay to be in that bracket where Sterling is, or Aguero is, or the likes of, I don't know, Ronaldinho and Kaká and Shevchenko and a few other people who didn't play for AC Milan. I don't know why I'm picking out all them.
Nugent.
Exactly. It's going to be a must win for Man City, of course, at Anfield.
Sure. And that's it about Sterling. I mean, he is on course to post better stats than he's posted ever before in his career. So I'm not trying to dig him out. I'm just saying that he was quite quiet, and maybe that's a testament to Southampton.
Well, I think the season starts in August, doesn't it? And we're getting to the point now where maybe some players are starting to feel it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. Absolutely. Bournemouth beat Manchester United 1-0. Josh King ended Bournemouth's goal drought, which was 358 minutes, something like that.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah, he did well. But I'm not sure Wan-Bissaka should have, might have done a bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
But still,
I think in terms of what King had to do to put the ball away, he did it very well and very inventively. That kit, I know I go on about this, it just does not inspire fear, does it?
Well, the Man United.
What shade is that? It's like,
could they see themselves?
Vomit gold?
Yeah. Could they pick out the blood? Do you remember
piss
when they
beige?
You remember when they went away to Southampton?
Indeed.
In that weird kit and. Yeah. Fergie said they couldn't pick out the players or something.
Yeah. It was good for that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it was one of those
dead cat on the table.
But the concern around, and credit to Bournemouth, and they are a team that really you don't know what you're going to get, do you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you think, okay, they could win a couple, then they'll lose five, and then they'll draw a couple. You don't really, but we said before that the Man United came to these two games, away at Norwich and away at Bournemouth. We'll find out a bit about them. And in a weird way, we haven't really found out anything. We found out on their day they can do well, which they did against Norwich. And when it's not up there for them to consider it to be a big game, something they want to be intense and snap at tackles and get amongst it at, they can't.
I wonder if Eddie Howe with Bournemouth is doing a bit more of relatively speaking, of course, a bit like what Klopp did with Liverpool, in the sense of Liverpool were very, very attacking them, and they still are under Klopp. But they were more sort of a little bit more swashbuckling, and then Klopp thought, I need to tighten up the defence. Eddie Howe's Bournemouth, they tended not to struggle to score too many goals in sort of previous seasons, but they'd often be a bit leaky.
Yeah.
Now this season, some of the more recent results, they've struggled to score, but they've been keeping the odd clean sheet here and there. Any clean sheet, without being patronising, but for a side, any clean sheet is good, no matter who you are in the league, but especially if you're a bit further down, because by the nature of it, you're not as good and you're going to concede goals. And I think with Bournemouth, I wonder if Howe is trying to kind of work on the defence a bit more, which could be to the detriment slightly of the attack. He's been a little bit more cautious, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know whether maybe just the last handful of results are skewing my mind on that.
No, I think you're onto something, because they've conceded 13 goals this season in total. in 11 games. And last season, in total, they conceded 70.
There you go.
They've definitely tightened up at the back.
70's a lot,
isn't
it? That
is a hell of a lot.
It's more than any other team apart from the relegated Fulham and Huddersfield.
There you go.
Yeah, so they've definitely sort of lent on that. But I mean, going back to the game itself, you really wonder if it's a reflection of the job that Solskjaer's doing. Because if you think that Solskjaer was billed when he came in as a motivator, mm-hmm. This is an inexperienced guy, he's not brilliant tactically, he's not done an awful lot as a manager at any kind of level really, but this is what he is. This is what we were told. He is this guy who can tap into the Man United spirit and he knows what the history of the club represents. He can motivate the team. Players will rally around him. You couldn't move for ex-Man United players saying how much of a great guy he was. And I'm sure all that's true.
Yeah.
But he's not motivating this team properly consistently, because when they go away to somewhere like Bournemouth, this result kind of result happens far too often.
And it's the performance as well.
Yeah, it is the performance as well. But they're in a strange situation where, because people know they're vulnerable, yet they're still Man United. When they go away to places like this, the opposition are highly motivated and they all perform very professionally and very well.
You're absolutely right, Jimmy. Yeah, because you can get themselves up for it when Liverpool come to town. And that's good. You know, much better.
Man United fans must be so frustrated with that.
I know.
You see it. They know they can do it.
Go away to Chelsea and get a good result there. And Chelsea is playing well. And they bugger. I mean, we'll end this chat here with Manchester United have won 13 points or gained 13 points from 11 Premier League games this season, their lowest tally at this stage of a league campaign since 86-87.
Yeah, and Bournemouth are in 7th, which is an amazing testament to them.
Absolutely, at the time of recording, sir. Yeah. All right, let's have a little break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Over to you, Luke Moore.
Yeah, Betway 4 to score. Betway.com/4to score. Pick the first goal scorer in each of Betway's 4 selected games for a chance to win a share of a gigantic amount of money. I think it was £225,000 this week. We're no longer in the hunt because Jim's selection of Andrei Yarmolenko didn't come to pass in West Ham v Newcastle, a game we'll talk about later. And Callum Hudson-Odoi did not score first in Watford v Chelsea. But do go over to betway.com/4to score to play. There'll be another load of selections next week. And I'll give you a bit of an update later in the week about how people got on overall in the 4to score this weekend.
Damn right, Morsy. Damn right. All right. Let's have some emails with Jimmy C.
Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Jim is reading it out. Well done.
Hello.
Pete's, Pete's memory lives on in the form of his many jingles.
He's absolutely fine wherever he is.
The Melody Man.
The Melody Man. So this email is titled simply Crisis. And we received it on Friday, Saturday, before our show in Salford. It says simply, "Hiya, got tickets for Salford tonight, but me and my friend have misjudged how much to drink and it's all gone a bit south. Fancy Skyping us in? Cheers, fellas." That's from Tom Much. I don't know if we met Tom. I imagine he's feeling a bit worse for wear even now, based on that. But I hope you made it, Tom.
Let us know if you made it in, Tom.
I'm sorry, get in touch. Tim Weston's also been in touch. Hello, Ramble. On mention of Raphael van der Vaart in last week's show, I found myself on Wikipedia looking to see what he's up to now. I scrolled through his illustrious career at some of Europe's elite clubs, past the likes of Ajax and Real Madrid, only to find it glamorously culminated with him joining the British Darts Organisation in April 2019, beginning his professional darts career. In case you wondered what he's been up to after hours at Spurs, it seems like probably sinking pints and refining his dart skills. Got me thinking, what are some of the more weird things retired footballers are doing now? Quick Google search found Xavi picks mushrooms, and Joe Allen appeared on the cover of the spring 2016 edition of Chicken and Egg magazine, image attached. And it's absolutely true. And I mean, Joe Allen's not even retired. Any other suggestions? Welcome. All the best. Again, from Tim Weston. So one of my favourite examples of this is, I know that Ian Desailly, who used to play for Wigan, is apparently a homicide detective.
Have you ever had an update on that?
No, actually.
I remember a few years ago, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, so maybe he's still cracking cases.
Did he say Xavi's picking mushrooms?
Picking mushrooms, yeah.
I don't think that's like, right, now I've retired from football, I can concentrate on the mushroom.
Well, these guys are getting a little bit older, and they're finding new hobbies, new passions.
Oh, so he's talking about hobbies.
Van der Vaart is definitely, as far as I know, a professional darts player now.
I love that. When he was a player, you thought to yourself, I could see him down the old...
Well, obviously, darts is really popular in Netherlands. Yeah. It's like one of the most popular sports. So, and I think he made his debut in May of this year, Van der Vaart.
That's no mean feat.
He averaged, apparently, I've got it here, he's averaged, just in his first game, he's averaged 54, and it was just poor, and he was thrashed 4-0. But if he's passionate about it, he's registered as a proper professional darts player. And if you go to his Wikipedia page, it does say Raphael van der Vaart is a professional darts player and former professional footballer.
Well, Paolo Maldini had a crack at tennis, didn't he?
Played a doubles game, didn't he, I think?
I think he had one game. Would it have been...
Professional level, I think. It was
professional level, wasn't it?
One of the circuits, yeah. But it was a doubles game.
That's right, men's doubles, and they were convincingly beaten, but still, you've gone out there, and he would have been, early 40s, or perhaps mid-40s at the time. So
put himself on the line, hasn't he?
Damn right.
Grant Holt became a wrestler for a bit. It's not quite the same, but...
Vinnie
Jones? Vinnie Jones! Is another
in my mind, I've got that Maldini was 49 when he played that game.
Oh, yes, that's right, he was.
He was a lot older than you think, because he played till he was about 43, didn't he?
Yeah, flipping heck.
There we go, good stuff.
We got one more email. Good morning from Tully, Australia. Travelling tractor boy from Ipswich, England, and a big fan of the show. Just wondering the best place to direct questions for future pods. Much appreciated. Keep up the good work. Austin. It's to the email address you sent it to, Austin.
You've answered your own question now, Austin, haven't you? Really? Yeah. We'll expect another email to follow.
Yeah, I suppose we shall. Yeah, show at footballrambledaily.com. That's the jingle says.
You email someone to ask them if you can send an email and expect a response to confirm it before you... It's a very belt and braces approach, isn't it?
I like it.
Yeah, I'm being a dickhead. He sent it to the old email address and it's still come through.
It's still come through. But, there we go. Well, doesn't matter.
There we are.
Do we normally do a jingle at the end of these?
Why not? Yeah, let's treat them. You email show. Done indeed, everybody. We go back to the Premier League.
Well done, particularly to Austin.
Absolutely. And we also say well done to Sheffield United, who put Burnley to the sword with those blades.
To the blade.
Yes.
Sorry, mate.
Not at all. Mousset with three delightful touches.
He's in great form.
Or three delightful assists, but two of them in particular were delightful touches. Some of the best touches in a footballing sense all weekend, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they just look ravenous on the break, didn't they? Burnley had no answer to it, which is really surprising. They're a team that you normally expect to not make it easy for them, and it looks like at times that is kind of what happened.
Yeah, they got done very quickly, didn't they? Two goals just before half time. Lundstrom was having a nice time.
Can we? Is it appropriate now after 11 games to say? I mean, to say, fucking hell, Sheffield United are sixth.
I know. Yeah, at the time of recording, brilliant. Of course, because some of those results haven't come in. But yes, they'll still be, I think, no matter what happens,
worst
still
case scenario, they'll be seventh.
Or seventh. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's a great situation to put yourself in as a promoted club, because the remit remains the same, doesn't it, all season? It's just next game, try and win it, keep going. You don't get in your own head about what position you're trying to finish in or any of the stuff that comes with being an established Premier League team. The only possible failure is relegation, really.
Yeah.
So they haven't done, with the exception of Chelsea, which to be fair they got a draw at Stamford Bridge, with the exception of Chelsea, I don't think they've played any of the big teams away from home yet. Mm. But I mean, even so, I mean they're sixth in the Premier League at the time recording.
His warriors well drilled.
They know what they're doing.
Blimey, they're drilled.
They work really, really hard. They all stick to their task, and it seems to me now, we don't normally get three promoted teams going down straight away again the next season. It's only happened a handful of times in the Premier League era. So we are used to at least a team staying in the Premier League now. It's got to the point for Sheffield United where they're not going to be thinking about this, but us as pundits might be thinking, okay, what can they do next season? Because we saw Huddersfield stay up the first season, not quite in the way that Sheffield United are doing it now. And of course, they might not stay up, but if they do, what they're going to do next season different? Because we see the top teams will work you out.
Mm.
The top teams will probably work them out for the second half of the season, probably. So, but at the same time, you've got to enjoy it. I mean, they've only lost one Premier League game since the middle of September. It's amazing.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal. And I think that's it. You know, Sean Dyche highlighted that. He said...
The only game they've lost was that game home against Liverpool. Really, really close to not losing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a
goalkeeping error.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I think that's it. You know, with Chris Wilder, I mean, I don't want to do the man a disservice in the slightest, but perhaps a few years ago, you look at him, you look at the age he is, he's English, you think to yourself, well, he's not going to be a master tactician or anything like that, and perhaps, well, maybe not those words you describe him now, but they come up in the league, and tactically they look great. Much has been made of the way they set up. They're well drilled, as we keep going.
They're interesting the way they play as well.
Yeah, but they're hard to beat, and they're winning games and scoring the old goal. I mean, it's a perfect recipe for any side, but a newly promoted side.
Well, it's also interesting because they have stability because he's been there for a while, but also they're an unknown quantity to the teams that they're facing in most cases because, you know, they've come up from the Championship. So,
but also, no team has conceded fewer goals than them in the Premier League this season.
Amazing.
And we're 11 games in. They've conceded eight goals in 11 games.
That is phenomenal.
And
that really is phenomenal.
If you're a fan of a Football League team, as I am, you'll know perhaps a bit more about Chris Wilder, because I remember when he managed Northampton Town and they were in the same division as Portsmouth and they destroyed League Two. They absolutely smashed it. They were by far the best team. They were brilliant. And his reputation has just been enhanced over and over again. He was brilliant at the club he was at before that, and he's doing a brilliant job now. And for them to be sixth 11 games in, I think is amazing.
If you compare it to when Hull City were up that time under big Phil Brown.
The second half, they were a disaster, weren't they?
Well, they were, because they started so well, but you'd imagine that the type of character Phil Brown is or was, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and so they took their foot off the gas a little bit, whatever happened, and it became a disaster. Chris
Wilder. Took their foot off the gas at the beach.
There's no gas at the beach.
But Wilder's a really interesting guy, because he is...
I'm saying Wilder, I can't imagine him letting his side get away with anything like that.
No, absolutely not. I think because if you look at his career as a manager, wherever he's been, he's done really well. I mean, he started off, I think, at he started off at Halifax Town, didn't he? Or was it Alfreton Town? When he was at Alfreton Town, they just won the league, whatever division it was. I can't remember what it was called. Effectively, I guess, a semi-professional league. Oxford United, they won the playoffs in the conference. Mm. At Northampton Town, they blitzed League Two in 15-16. I remember it well. And then Sheffield United, they won League One, and then they came second in the Championship to go up to the Premier League. So he's not, I mean,
so you're
this
saying,
is a guy,
what, phenomenal. Next season, Sheffield United?
What I'm saying
champions?
Is, for a 52-year-old manager who wears shorts and socks and training gear for every game, he's not actually found his level yet. He looks like a guy, I don't mean this disrespectfully, if you go and watch a non-league game, he looks the sort of guy you see on the touchline, but he's doing it in the Premier League and he's doing it brilliantly.
And that's what I was making about my earlier point, is if you see him, you know, he looks like your stereotypical sort of English manager.
He looks like your proper football man.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with being, you know, a decent operator in Football League. Again, no disrespect, blah, blah, blah. But this is, I think this has taken a lot of us by surprise. And Sheffield United fans might be thinking, oh, you idiots, you didn't, you know, we knew what he was capable of. And if you are, then we hope you're enjoying it and you're having a lovely old time.
Yeah, three defeats in a row now for Burnley.
Didn't have a shot on goal.
No.
Or on target, the whole flipping game.
Away from home, they do find it tough, don't they?
And they
I think that two recent games they've lost at home was obviously to Liverpool and to Chelsea. But when your away record is as poor as theirs is, you really need to rely on your home form. So they're West Ham at home next. So they and West Ham obviously were poor at the weekend.
Yeah, they were.
Dyche out.
Yeah, get him out.
Always out. Well, that leads us neatly on to Newcastle United, who haven't been brilliant away from home. They've been okay, not terrible, but what a win!
I thought they were so poor, West Ham.
Yeah.
Sorry, Newcastle, I'm saying.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. What a win for Newcastle. Yeah. I mean, absolutely brilliant win for Brucey's boys.
Yeah, you got to say that as well. Bruce, he's doing a good job, isn't he? He's doing a better job than we might have expected him to in the circumstances. So,
yeah.
I'm bewildered by it. I know, I feel bad about saying it
because Speak's not here.
I think that's fair, Jim.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? I mean, I think we all thought they'd have basically
been relegated by now.
But like, yeah. But you know, that's a tough place to go. And obviously, West Ham played their part in it by being absolute toilet.
Yeah.
But you know, you still got to get yourselves up for it and score those three goals away from home. And obviously, the goalkeeper's got to do better for John Joe Shelby's goal. But you know.
Still a good start from John. Lovely to see Big John in there.
Oh, it's great to see him get on the score sheet.
He nearly had one in the first half. He rattled it off the bar. The way he just sort of flicked it. Mm.
But you know, they missed Fabianski so badly, West Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's obviously was a standout keeper last season.
But still, apart from him, though, it was piss poor from West Ham.
Yeah, no intensity again.
Was it me? Was there like the fans, a lot of fans had left at 2-0?
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah,
that'll
maybe.
Happen. Yeah,
I don't know if it was an optical illusion or.
Is it the first time Newcastle scored more than one goal in a game this season?
So,
I mean, must they be fuming about that if you're a West Ham fan? Because you're probably going to the game thinking, I'm looking forward to this.
Even if we play badly, we get at least a point.
They haven't won in four now.
And also, I mean, the goal for Balbuena was a little bit of a gift as well. And Snodgrass.
It
was brilliant. He really forced the issue there. I love it when a player does that. There's nothing on and a player just forces a goal.
I wonder how frustrated Snodgrass is going to get if it continues like this, because he looks like one of those players who shows his frustrations. Now, I didn't watch the match, saw the highlights, and again, that they were all pretty poor, so I'm not saying he was amazing or anything, but he is very keen. Snodgrass is obviously out for a while, and I wonder if he's going to be that player who's just going to try and drive them forward, and if other players don't follow suit, he could get rather sweary at them.
Oh, I think he's definitely the type, but I do think he deserves a good amount of credit, because remember when he sort of seemed like he was surplus to requirements, goes online to Aston Villa in the Championship, does well, and all the reports were saying he's going to sign permanent with Villa, which would make sense. He's 32 now, going to a promoted club into the Premier League. You'd think they'd have more use for him, and perhaps he felt that's where his future was. But to be fair to him, I mean, from what I've heard, he's rolled his socks up and pulled his socks up and really gone for it. And he's quite an important part of their team now.
He started
three Premier League games. He's come off the bench three times, played a couple of League Cup games. Obviously still playing. I think he's still playing internationally for Scotland as well.
Yeah, should be.
Good on him, because when you're 32... and you're thinking, well, have I got a future in the Premier League? To get yourself back in there for a foreign manager who's vastly experienced and at a team who are signing players at quite a high rate, he's done pretty well to get in there.
Yeah. He has a very good delivery, doesn't he, Snodgrass? And that is a really invaluable thing if you have someone in your squad. That
I think he's technically pretty decent, Snodgrass, don't you?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah. Was it nice to see Andy Carroll on the pitch at the end?
It's always nice to see Andy anywhere.
The Andy Carroll derby, of course.
Nice to see him anywhere, mate.
Yeah.
At any point. If Andy Carroll's in, at least just even in my peripheral vision, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, an Andy Carroll goal this season is going to be a highlight, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I've got some amazing news for you, Marcus, by the way.
Far away.
To change trains slightly. I know you are well on top. And in fact, I'm going to stick my neck out and say you are driving the Leicester City train. All the way to Premier League Trophiesville.
Do you know? No, I can't. Clearly, Brendan Rodgers is. If there's any man who believes he can do it, it's Brendan Rodgers. I'm just serving up the drinks.
You're checking tickets.
Yeah. Are you on this train or not?
Yeah, I've got good news for you, because news has broken. That I'll tell you what. I'll give you his name. Let me know if it means anything to you.
Okay.
Don't cheat by checking it, Marcus. Mm. Answer honestly.
Yeah.
Does the name Lee Herbert, 41-year-old Lee Herbert, mean anything to you?
No.
Okay. He is the guy who backed Leicester City to win the Premier League at 5,000 to 1.
Oh, okay.
In their Premier League winning season.
What's
news has broken today.
Yeah.
And I'll just read the headlines here.
Far away.
Fan who won 5,000 to 1 title bet backs Foxes again.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh. A fan whose bet netted him 20 grand has backed them to win the title again this season. He says, Liverpool and Man City might prove to be too strong for us, but you never know. There's definitely the same kind of buzz around Leicester. And he's also arguing that this team they've got now is at least as good as the one who triumphed in 2016.
Well, I'll tell you something. I mean, he won't get those odds.
You giddy?
I'm getting giddy. But what did we say the other week? They're 250 to 1 or something.
I think they were down to 150 to 1.
150 to 1, you see? Yeah.
I know we've sort of daydreamed about this before, but imagine if they could sneak in the back door.
Yeah.
Well, Villa tried to do them favours.
Yes, they
I'm
did.
Sure there's probably a rivalry there.
Yeah, maybe that
lots
was,
of
maybe that was in Villa's mind. They're like, you know what, actually,
I've got another story.
Might not be worth it.
I've got another story that we missed a week or two ago, or about a week ago.
And
Pete's asked me to mention it on his behalf. Okay. I mean, that's what it's got to now. Yeah. I mean, he's just not turning up. He's like, can you just do that bit for me? Did you guys see the Holstein Kiel midfielder who conceded a penalty while warming up on the touchline?
So
Holstein Kiel... I can't remember who they're playing, but anyway, the team they were playing. Oh, it's Bochum.
Oh yeah,
the Bochum forward.
In Germany.
Yeah, had a shot. It went wide, quite a long way wide, and the Holstein Kiel midfielder was warming up to the side of the goal, and he stuck his foot out to stop it before the ball went out of play. Now, VAR. The grass. The spotted it. It's just snitch. and told the referee to give a penalty and show him the yellow card because IFAB ruled that if a substitute interferes with play, the referee can take appropriate disciplinary action and restart the game with a direct free kick or a penalty kick. So they got given a penalty for it.
Wow.
And it's amazing when you don't see this very often in football. Some other sports are obviously more complicated, but in football, it is amazing when you see the attacking team surprised they've got a penalty and not know why it's happened.
Yeah.
I think the referee had to explain to them what had happened.
They're like, this is good. And the other team are going absolutely postal.
God. Of course.
Imagine what the coach is thinking. You're not even being picked and you're giving away penalties.
Dressing room after that.
Whoa.
Who do you think you are? Shkodran Mustafi?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh, God. Another interesting thing happened this week. Did you see Yaya Toure was sent off after 10 seconds in what might be his final game for his club in China?
Unreal.
Yeah, I believe they're called Qingdao Huangdai. Huangzhai. I think that's possibly pronounced wrong, but that's not the story
here,
is it?
Did they not celebrate his
10
birthday?
10 seconds in. Again, maybe that's it, 10 seconds in, and again, VAR grassed him up.
So, he booted someone off the ball, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
And if you were playing,
that's poor from Yaya.
It is. If you're playing in midfield all game and you've been in a real battle and the guy's got under your skin and you just lash out at the last minute, it's kind of more forgivable. 10 seconds in, I'm going to stick my neck out and say he wasn't in the right frame of mind to play.
No, no. He was, I mean, this could be his last game for the club, and in theory, it could be his last game in football. Imagine that.
Mm.
Zidane-esque.
It is.
Well... to be fair, Zidane...
Similar stage.
I mean, similar build-up, Zidane, Panenka, the penalty in the World Cup final, blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Yeah.
I hope it's not his last game. That would be a shame.
Yeah, it would.
I could see him moving on loan to Newcastle United.
Could you? That'd be amazing.
They'll promise a big, exciting signing, and in January they'll get Yaya on loan.
Take it, wouldn't they?
On big, well, why not?
Yeah.
It's grist to the mill, isn't it?
I think we would take it on their behalf.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the same as them taking it.
Pete's not here to defend himself, so they'll take it.
Absolutely right. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy are with you tomorrow. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, me. Thank you, listeners. And come and see us in America or Canada if you're around there.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.